Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Welcome, everyone, to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and the other host is...
Elroy Seegers.
And we want to welcome you to 2023, and we're going to kick things off right for this year. So, Elroy and I have been working to design a program based on the steps that we use in working with clients, how we, the beginning, middle, and end stages of working with a client. And so we're going to try to go through in the next few months, go through each step that we take in helping a client addressing their needs. Yep. So the first thing that I know that we do is we do a financial assessment. So this session is going to be about a financial assessments.
Yes.
And that is when you're giving thought to your mental state when it comes to money and the actual state of your finances.
Right. Correct.
So a lot of people think you just jump straight into a budget, but you don't. You
Correct.
Need to give thought. You
Correct.
Need to give thought to why you're spending, how you're spending.
You're giving my secrets away.
So the thing I want to ask Elroy, because he's really good at, when he's talking to the clients, pulling information out of them, getting them to realize what's behind all the spending. So Elroy, what is it that, I mean, I know at the beginning you're trying to get to know them, but what is
Correct.
It you're actually trying to get to know about them?
Well, like you said, I am trying to get to know them, but actually I'm trying to get to know their mental state of mind when it comes to how they look at money. And a lot of times it comes out through just a conversation. And you are absolutely right. They want to jump to, hey, build me a budget. Hey, let's get down to how I spend my money. But sometimes, well, a lot of times it's not about how you spend the money. It's about why you spend your money the way you spend your money. So I really want to get to the core of why you make the decisions that you make. Because once you start to understand that piece of the puzzle, you can really build out a budget or a financial freedom plan to move forward. But also what it does, it helps them to realize why they spend the money the way they do. Yes, you can build out a budget, and it won't even work unless you understand why you make some of the decisions that you do. And when you really get down to it, the communication aspect of going back and forth, and it's not like a 5-minute conversation or a 10-minute conversation. It may take a few meetings just to get to know the person, to understand their habits. And once I feel like I made that connection or I understand them, I can build out a budget, you know, not based on income and expenses, but some of their desires to help them not be so strict and hard on themselves. For example, what I mean by that is this right here, Rob. Yes. I know you might like shopping, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then you look at their finances and you just talk to them and say, ask them, how often do you shop? How often do you get your hair done? How often do you get your nails done? Or for the guys, how often do you get your haircut done? How often do you get your car detailed? You know, so you don't want to pull all those things away from them, but you want to build a budget around those things to give them a true picture of what they're spending on. And then you present that picture to them. Here's how you're actually doing things now. Mm-hmm. What do you see in your life that you can make change? And you want to help them identify what the changes can be made.
So, not to cut you off.
No, no problem. No problem.
This analogy came up. Like when you're, say your money is sick. You're
mm-hmm.
sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
They ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to get down to
mm-hmm.
the root of
mm-hmm.
things. And that's what mm-hmm. we're trying to do when we ask those, when we're having that conversation, because
yes,
a
exactly
lot of times
it.
We just let you flow and talk, and from that we can pick up things.
Exactly right.
And so that's the aspect that's where he's coming from when he's talking about
mm-hmm.
that he's trying to
dig
and pull it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the root cause of you mm-hmm. spending money this way?
And a lot of times it's not just you; it could be something that was in you that was early in your life that is a foundation of the way you was brought up. You know, you didn't have X, Y, and you never was taught to do these things. So if you wasn't taught that, you don't understand how to balance a checkbook or how to save money or how to budget or how to plan. You know, when they say living paycheck to paycheck, you really live in day to day. You know, there are people out there, they just spend money and they pray and hope that it clears, not knowing what they're putting in and not knowing if they're coming out. And I have worked with people exactly like that.
And I know people exactly like this. And one person is actually a financial analyst, and they live like that.
Yeah.
And they live paycheck to paycheck, and they had a lot of credit cards, and mm-hmm. they would go and they would just start pulling them out, yep. and see which one worked.
Yep.
But this person dealt with, on the business side, a business money.
Yep.
Did
it
an
happens.
Excellent job.
It happens.
I mean, was wonderful at that job.
It happens.
But in the personal life, it was like, whoa.
It happens. I have several clients, and this one client in particular, I always tell people, you know, their parents want to say, I need you to work with my son and my daughter. And I just laugh. I say, because you want me to work with your son and daughter. It's not going to work until they come to me and say, I need help. That's when it really works. And there's been a few people that's been pointing our direction. And we just typically don't reach out because we know if they don't reach back, it's not going to work. But this one person I've been waiting for, and she finally came to me. And I said, this is going to work. And I was telling my wife, I said, here's why. Because they finally is seeing the light that I need to change. Mm-hmm. And now, in about a week's time of me working with this person, the mindset and the change was incredible to me. I was telling my wife, I was like, oh my God. I says, in 1 week, this person has accepted so much and has been totally vulnerable to me and has allowed me to talk to them and pour into their life financially. It has changed not just their finances, but the way they think about money, totally. And now they're sharing, you know, here's this, you know, here's this, giving me all the information I need. And now the information is just pouring in. And everything that's pouring in, I can help to make, you know, more changes and to build more when it comes to their financial future. It makes it easier when you're, one, vulnerable and you're willing to share.
Right.
So often we're not willing to share because it makes them feel bad and it makes them look bad. And one thing I always say this right here. I live in a no judgment zone.
There you go.
I cannot judge you if you need help.
Right. And you're seeking that help.
Yes. And I always do word changes. When someone says, well, I'm going to try, I says, no, we're going to remove try with doing. Because that's an action word that you're actually doing. You're moving towards something. Trying means to attempt. We're not going to attempt anything. We're going to be successful in what we're going to do. So I do a lot of word changes. You know, I had this one customer that was saying just negative things about themselves. I said, stop saying negative things about yourself. I said, because you're putting it out in the atmosphere, and you're going to start believing those things. So I would say, nope, we're not going to say you're this. We're going to say positive thinking, positive reinforcement. And the person says, every time I say something that's negative, every time I say, you just change. I said, I have to. I said, because if I believe that you can change, and you keep hearing it from me, you're going to start believing you can change too.
Right.
And in 1 week's time, me changing these words, the person is now convinced they can make a difference in their financial freedom.
And they are so bright and happy and upbeat, even though things still financially is, just because they're talking this way don't mean mm-hmm. the finances are fixed. The finances right. are still the way they have been.
Yeah.
It's just that the mindset
has changed.
Mm-hmm. And that's 90% of the battle right there.
Amen.
Once you change your mind and you're focused, then everything else will start working for you. And her mindset was changed, and it was like, oh my goodness. And like Elroy said, we don't go to people. We hear people need help.
Amen.
But we can't want it more than they want it.
Yeah.
We can't chase you down and say, so and so told me you need help. So and so told me.
Doesn't work.
It has to be when you determine, mm-hmm. I need that change.
Doesn't work. You know, people like Saint, they may come to me and say, hey, my FICO score is low and I need assistance. Can you help me out? And I'm like, do you know what you're asking me? You're asking me to work with your finances, not so much change your FICO score. And they're like, huh? I'm like, that's built around your finances. So in order for me to help you with your FICO score, I need to understand your spending habits and what is on your current report. So I need a report. And a lot of times when you get a report, you're like, I always tell myself, I can tell someone's habits based off the report, not even the score, just the habits of how the report tells me from month to month what they believe in and what they lack. And believe it or not, Robin, a lot of people don't understand what's on the report and why it's reported. Like I didn't miss that date where it says it right here. Evidently, you did something wrong. And understanding sometimes that report tells a lot about people. Now, we know there's some people out there that say, hey, you don't need to have a FICO score to get X, Y, and Z. Yeah, if you're debt free and you got millions of dollars, that does work. But for a lot of people in this world, you need that score in order to obtain things in life,
Yes.
because we all don't have millions of dollars to go out and pay cash for it. So yes, the industries, they do say, hey, you don't need a FICO score. You can live a debt-free life. You can just pay cash. Yeah, if you got it. But until that happens, you're gonna need that score to be successful and buy the things that you want and need.
Right.
So I always tell people, yes, if you got $1 million, even people with $1 million, they still need to be able to budget their money. Because how many people have you known that have gotten rich and gone broke quickly because they're not used to it?
And even though you may have $1 million,
Mm-hmm.
Lending companies and other
Oh,
businesses
yeah.
looking at your value,
Yep.
how well you take care of that
Yep.
money.
Yep.
So you still can't just be a millionaire
Yep.
and spend your money any kind of way and
Yep.
expect somebody to
Yep.
invest in you, invest in this, or give you this, or give
Yep.
you that. They still looking at how I'm gonna get my money back. Are you worthy of my money and how I'm gonna get it back?
Yep. And this is what I love to see when I tell people, I can almost see when they're gonna, excuse me, get out of a, for lack of a better word, a hole. I can almost see through the planning of how long it's gonna take for us to be financially fit. But I don't know when it comes to mentally fit, that's a different aspect. This is what I mean. If you can get out of a hole financially, but you haven't changed your mindset,
You
the
won't have
minute I
the
turn
money.
you loose, you're gonna go right
Right
back
back
to
at
that
it.
mindset. So changing your finances is one thing, but changing your mindset towards your finances is a totally different thing. The two have to work together. Now, you can have a great mindset and no money. That's great because you can always get the money. But if you get the money and no mindset, that's not going to work. You can always change your income. You can always change it, and you can always change your mindset. But the two got to work together to be successful.
I want
Planning.
to interrupt you right quick. I was just found some statistics that they said 61% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 61%. And only 68% may be able to cover unexpected emergencies of maybe $400. Now, most emergency in the thousands this day and age. So $400 is not going to cut it. And only 60% of Americans have a 3 month emergency fund built up where if you out of work, you only can live for 3 months.
Wow. It's those are true numbers. I was reading a book, I think it's by Chris Hogan, it says Everyday Millionaire. And I was reading some of the stats to somebody, and I asked him a question. It says, how much money do you think people have in their 401k when they retire? And it was like, oh man, at least about, give me a high number. I says, no, I think the average person had $161,000 in their retirement for 401k from years of investing. Now, that's not gonna last you long. You turn to retire and you live in a lifestyle of $80,000 a year, you're talking about 2 years. And you want to live a lifestyle of luxury and traveling and stuff. The other thing I always ask people is this right here. Our pastor of Raleigh North Christian Center, Apostle Jeff Chapman, he said one time that to us, he says, he wants his kids to stand on his shoulders. So when they're out in life, they already got a great start. He don't want them to start from scratch. So I thought about this right here. When we're having kids, when do you think, Robin, it's time to start planning for retirement?
Way before you even have kids.
Right, because college comes first. So when you have that childbirth, you need to go out there and start paying for college. Because if you don't, we pray and hope the kids go to college and they don't get a scholarship, now you're talking about loans. So you got a kid coming out of college with a $80,000 loan. How is that standing on your shoulders when they start from scratch? So now how are they going to plan for retirement if they get $80,000 to pay for? You can't put anything in the 401k because you're so busy trying to pay off that school loan. $500, $600 a month for years to come. So how are you going to be able to put a penny away? Well, I would say even with that, put something away. I don't care if it's $25. So I tell people, you got to start from day one of when you know that baby's about to be born, and then at birth, start some kind of college planning. Even if it's just $25 a month, that over 18 years goes a long way towards putting money away for your child to go to college. Because you don't want your kids to have that behind them or on them. And that is one of the biggest things. And you know the federal government's talking about that now. How do we can get debt relief to these kids? Huge loans. How can they plan for retirement when they're so busy working for the day to pay for a bill that they got education on years ago, 10, 12 years ago? That's a struggle.
Yeah.
So I tell you, you got to start taking care of your kids day one at first breath. Get them something to stand on. Don't let them go out into this world trying to do it all by themselves. We try to do the same for our kids. We try to help them out as much as possible when needed. Planning. You really have to plan for their future and also for yours. There are a lot of people, Robin, investment people, they tell you, hey, you know, as a person like us, let your kids fend for themselves. You got to plan to retire because you can't give your kids education by paying for their student stuff, education stuff, and retire. You got to decide one or the other. I've heard webinars and people, I'm like, wow, that is a hard choice. I'm not doing it to my kids. I'm a save for them as long as much as I can, and then make choices to help them to be debt free or with the anything they incur moving forward. But to start at zero, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, and it's another thing that Dr. Chapman says: sight and vision.
Yes.
A lot of people think sight and vision mean the exact same thing, and it doesn't. Sight mean is what you can see physically.
Right.
The vision is what's in your heart,
right,
what
right,
you see right, your life to right, be, your life that you want. And right, when you see it in your heart, it's deeper.
Right.
So you're willing to, you're more apt to fight for and steer towards that.
Right.
What you see, it comes and goes. Vision is buried in your heart. So just remember, are you seeing it in the physical, or you seeing in the spirit, in your heart? So
amen.
Being debt free and having that control over your money, how do you see it? Because a lot of us, like Elroy said, a lot of us was raised, there was no saving. You mm-hmm. had family members that they would spend every last dime and worry about bills later.
Yep.
We'll figure that out later. But they look good.
Yep.
Oh, they look cleaner than a board of health, as we used to say it. They looking good, and they worry about the bills later. And mm-hmm. that's what you saw. So now mm-hmm. that's what you're doing.
Right.
Somewhere that curse got to be broken.
Yeah.
Somewhere we got to start talking to our kids at a young age, letting them know the electricity, that's a bill.
Yep.
Water, that's a bill. Food,
it costs. That's what did
start showing them so they not thinking all this stuff is just free. Or that debit card or credit card, they just think you swiping it. They don't know that money is behind that. Yep. Start talking to them about that.
Yep.
Start showing them how to spend cash and save cash and tithe and serve in the community and all of that.
Yep.
We have to start showing our kids that because they have to grow up knowing this.
Yep.
Or they gonna actually be starting where we are.
Yeah. People often ask me, where do you get your skill set from? And believe it or not, my mother used to always take me, because I was the youngest, so I couldn't be left at home. Otherwise, I'd get into some stuff. Still did when she was there. that's another story, y'all. A lot of other stories. Popo kind of stories. But she always would take me with her. And I always watched how she would handle her money. You know, taking it out of the pocketbook, you know, okay, adding things up and stuff. She would always talk to me about, you know, okay, this costs 10, this costs 15, I gotta save money for this error. And she was teaching me without knowing she was teaching me, but she was always talking to me. So I don't know if she did it intentionally or not, but I picked up from those things. Okay, mama's putting away this kind of money. So, well, I got to have enough money for these things to pay for X, Y, and Z. That's back at home. So the money I have in my pocket is just for spending X, Y. Oh, okay. So the money for bills are not, nope, this is not bill money. The bill money is at home. It's already paid for through the check. Oh, okay, in the check. So everything you have with you, we can spend? She said, yes. And she would show me the money. So then I just started looking at things. You know, how much can we get today, mom? How much can we spend on this month? She was, I mean, I asked a lot of questions. She probably wanted to beat me up. But it helped me to understand the ideal of budgeting and planning, because my mom was a single mother and she had five kids. So she had to plan financially. She had to allot money for bills and for things that her kids needed and wanted. But we never want for anything. Mm-hmm. She always filled out wants and our needs. Mm-hmm. And that's kept my eye keen to it. I didn't really realize that until I got older on my own, how well I was as far as being able to balance a checkbook and just talking to people about ideas and money. And they was like, wow, you could do this here. I'm like, am I? Because it was part of me.
Right.
It was trained. I was taught that at a very young age. And I just carried that skill set throughout and just trying to continue to master it by doing different things in different classes.
And also with Elroy, he is an out-of-the-box thinker. He does not think like the average person. Like, I see money in, say, what's that, 2G, 3G?
Yeah.
Roy already on 7G. He thinks that way. I don't think that way. So a lot of his ideas, he bounce off me because he know most people will think the way I think. And he needs to bring it down to their level so he don't scam off. But I sit and listen to him, and the way he thinks about money is just crazy. And it's like, a lot of people's like, wow, I never thought about it that way. Thank and you, it's babe. Because we tend to think traditionally about money, where, like I said, Elroy is 7G already about money. And it's not something so profound and big. It's just that you just flipping the script. And it still works, and people are starting to realize, oh, it's more ways to do this. Yeah. It's more ways to get 4 instead of just 2 + 2. Mm-hmm. You can get 24 divided by 6. I mean, it's all sorts of algorithms to get to 4, where we're just thinking 2 + 2 = 4. Heaton already came up with 100 ways to get 4. And so that's why a lot of people come to us, because and I'm going to be honest, I'm the infrastructure when it comes to all of this. And I'm I'm the person he tests things on, because I'm the average person when it comes to that. So his mind is always thinking about how to see things. And he's opened my eyes that there's more ways to get things done. And that's what we're trying to do, is show people it's more ways to get things done without suffering. You can have... Yeah. Money management. Now, right. Let's not just say budget. Money
right.
management.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
And still have a good life.
Amen.
You don't have to. People say budget and think, oh, I can't do anything. And it's right. like, no, you can. You can.
Yep.
You just have to sit down and tell your money where to go.
Yep.
You
tell
assign
it. Tell
where it's supposed to go.
Yep.
And then you fit into things that you like to do. You yep. may not be able to do it all the time or as much as mm-hmm. before, but you can still do it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we wanted this yeah. session to be about, is financial assessment.
Yeah.
Give thought. Don't just jump straight in.
Yeah.
Give thought to what you're doing.
I'm going to say this without giving the person's name away, because we want to respect people's privacy. So I was working with someone, and they wanted to... Let me just change the item up to get the fingernails done, right? And I was like, okay, how much the fingernails cost to get it done, right? You know, she said, oh, it costs, I think, let's say $80. And I was like, wow. Well, I have $600 in my account. I said, well, let's just hold on to the $600. I said, because, you know, we want to make sure everything clears, you know, any unexpected charges that you did not tell me about. I said, because that always happened with people I work with the first time. Oh, no, I told you every single thing. I said, well, let's just hold on to that. I said, because you understand you want your nails done. I said, okay. I got the number in my head. Next day, I got to tell you something. Some stuff came through. I said, how much? A lot. And I said, let me ask you this question now. Do you still want those nails done? The person said, no. because they realized I had money in my account. It was a want. Then they realized my money don't have as much. It's no longer a want nor a need. Wake up call. So, and that's why I try to tell people, if you work with me, you know, you got to be a little patient, because I'm very patient to understand your expenditures. I got to see a whole picture. And normally after the first month, it tells everything. It was only like a week and a half. I'm like, that's some stuff out there. It's going to clear. I need to know what's going to clear. So it's just amazing to see how people change as long as they work within the system with us, because it does work, but it takes time. And 30 days, it may seem long, but after the first month, I have a very good picture of what you're up against. And that really can set the tone for the rest of the year. Right. It's hard to know. People always forget. They forget about how many times they go to the grocery store, or, you know, extra gas or extra trip, or, oh, I forgot about this bill. Oh, my car taxes. So much pops up. So that's why I'm very patient the very first whole month to see the whole picture, to understand what they're up against. And then typically, once I get the picture, we can come up with something that can outline the spending habits and also the saving and planning habits, because that's something new. Saving is not a habit, nor is planning. So we try to formulate that plan so it becomes one moving forward.
Oh, good, good. So this was a good session. Just remember, start off with financial assessment, where you are mentally and physically when it comes to money, because it does help you on your journey. It really does, understanding where you are and why you're there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna have a new name now. I'm gonna call myself 7G. 7G in the house. I like that, baby. I'm gonna give me a shirt that says Coach 7G. I'm gonna give one says Robin 2G.
That's okay. I ain't
sharing. What's up, 2G? Not much, 7G. You want to get this right here, baby, if you don't mind. Huh?
Okay, so Elroy's passed me the paper, y'all. Yeah. He wants me to give out our social media handles. So we're on Facebook, Gifted Gen LLC, Instagram, gift.gen, YouTube is in the search bar, put at Gifted Generations LLC. And we're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, as well as Podbean, Financeology 101. Put it in the search bar. So,
right.
And you can find our podcast on our website, giftedgenerations-llc.com. And what? Don't forget the dash.
That's it. Don't forget it.
So, giftedgenerations-llc.com.
If you forget that dash, we're not going to tell you where you may end up. Don't blame us for that.
Yes, yes. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back with another session. I think the next one will be setting realistic goals. That's going to be a good one. That's the next step. After you do your financial assessment, then we're going to start talking about how to set realistic goals, achievable goals. So everyone, thank you for listening in, and have a blessed evening, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Take care.
7G, 2G out.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.